This is 8 Minutes of Awesome. I'm Jennifer Lipsky. When I first met Ellen LaPointe in 2013, I saw that she embodied the light and joy that comes from within. I'm so grateful to be speaking today with Ellen LaPointe. People may listen to how I just described you, and they may say, wow, this is how I want my life to be. I want to be overflowing with joy. I want people to feel that from me. So what type of guidance would you give someone who really is seeking that kind of space of having their life filled with joy?
That's a great question. I don't know that I can answer that very easily. I appreciate that we reflect that back to me as something you observed. It feels sometimes quite different inside, of course, as it does with all of us. And I've been on a very significant personal journey, a massive transformation process over the last couple of years that has been utterly upending and challenging on a lot of fronts. It's led me to make fundamental changes in my life, including the end of my marriage, including leaving a job that I have been in for a long time and loved for a lot of reasons, but concluded it was time for me to try new things. And just really being willing to move as I felt called into a space of kind of that was more responsive to where I'm really lit up and energized. And I think we met right at a place where I was starting to really appreciate that I could have this, you know, that this one can do this. You can actually take what was, by the way, a wonderful life to begin with, but have that conversation with yourself and say, you know, where am I most lit up in the world? Is that happening for me right now? And if not, what is it that I can see within my control that will help me to get there or to be on that journey? It's actually not a destination, as you know, right? It's not a done thing. We're never there. It's really a matter of figuring out how to live mostly in small ways, I would say, more than even in the big ways. What do we do all day? What are our practices and intentions around showing up and being there? And for me, what I realized in this process is that it's a lot about connection. I mean, fundamentally, the thing that lights me up most in my life as a person is connecting to other people, to my son, who's 11, to my family members, to my dear friends who are my family as well. So sorry. To my community, my colleagues. It's worth a lot of time and effort on my part to find authentic ways to engage in the world with the people around me, and to see people for who they are and to really meet them and look for ways to be sort of aligned and together in a moment.
So how did you stay strong? Where did you draw your strength during those times of transitions?
Well, here's the thing I would say first. These are transitions that were of my choosing. So that's a big deal. And I really never have lost sight of the fact that I have made a decision. I've made a series of made conscious decisions to move in new directions. And I think there's a whole other layer to this when things happen to you that you aren't controlling that I have not had to grapple with. So, for example, knock wood, you know, this, I'm not talking about a health challenge. Those are the kinds of things that I think call for a whole different set of tools that that really weren't in play for me in the last couple of years. However, I have confronted a lot of adversity and a lot of, I think, fear, honestly, from within around making changes in the structure of a life that I had really chosen in the first place and believed was what I wanted and needed in order to be a happy and whole person. And I think the hardest part of the story for me was realizing one day just how that was no longer working for me and being sort of able to say that out loud and then take a step forward and move in a new direction. Talking to people, being really making sure I wasn't isolating and making sure I was connecting, making sure I was taking care of my body. You know, I'm a writer, doing a lot of that, you know, which was really, really important at the very beginning, especially when I was trying to kind of unearth and surface what it was I was feeling and needing. So it's this sort of radical self-care. It's what you hope to do at all times. But I think in times of transition and crisis, you know, obviously it becomes perhaps your biggest job. And then, of course, having a child, you know, making sure you show up for him and really recognizing both that when you make a big change like this as a parent, you're bringing your child through major changes as well, and they are not choosing those changes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how do we parent mindfully and how do we really make sure we're there for them at the same time that we're often pulled out and distracted and challenged. So that's been hard work, but really, really rewarding because it, in some ways, has, I think, transformed my relationship with my son in a way that might not have happened. I don't know. I mean, but certainly has transformed my relationship with my son and brought us very close.
Yeah, all about keeping the kind of that balance and that radical self-care that you said. And also just going back to another thing that you'd mentioned, which is, you know, it was a series of kind of small steps, small steps. If you ever started to feel that maybe you needed to shift or change direction, what type of practice or what would you do to make sure that you were staying on course? And if you ever felt like you stepped a little off course, how would you kind of, you know, regain that footing?
I think that for me, a lot of the work I've been doing is about noticing, just being a better noticer of myself, of where I'm at emotionally, where my body is. My body, our bodies hold so much, and I think I spent a lot of time in my life not really taking advantage of kind of all the information that's available to us, just literally by knowing where our shoulders, you know, just the stuff around kind of how we hold ourselves at any given moment. So trying to learn to notice that. And for me, also sort of related to that is once I've named a feeling, I actually spent a lot of time in my life then trying to fix it. Like, how can I then make that feeling better if I'm angry, if I'm scared, if I'm afraid? You know, those are bad feelings to be avoided. That's sort of how I lived. And I continue and will, I think, spend my lifetime figuring out and working on how to just be in it and not try to change it when it feels hard. That's actually the core work for me, is that right there. Because I want to feel happy. I want to feel joyful. I want to feel like things are fun and easy. And when they're not, it can feel catastrophic to me sometimes. And so I'm working on just riding some of the cycles that are normal in all of us. And I would give myself a solid B plus maybe right now. But it, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's okay. And it, and when I say big and small, like the small stuff is just like all day long. Sort of how are you noticing where you are and how can you attend to things if they need to shift? And you know, that might just be breathing, pausing. These are not, I didn't make this up, right? It's just pretty basic stuff, but it's new to me. I don't think I was particularly mindful in this way until recently.
Yeah, all good suggestions, really strong. And a strong message too that it's okay to kind of almost release that control, to step back and observe. Really, what are you feeling? What are you experiencing? And using that, you know, maybe as part of that compass to then, you know, help that stepping into the next step and the next step and the next step.
And you know, figuring out, for example, the place, like for me, a lot of my joy comes from place and figuring out what the sacred places are on the earth for me, and putting myself there as often as I can. That's been something that's always been true for me, and it's been particularly important of late. And sort of related to that, the newer piece of that I've come to understand is that when I go to these places, I sort of give myself permission to be a particular way when I'm there. I tend to say I'm more relaxed, I'm more spacious, I'm more centered, I'm more calm. And what I understand now is that that's all about permission. That's not about the place. Something about being there, I allow myself to be that self that, of course, is always here with me. And so now I'm really trying to understand and work on how to take that self that I allow to kind of flourish in those places away and back home on a day-to-day basis. Like, there's no reason I can't have all of that here in my house or at my job or in my car on my way somewhere. You know, it's just me. So that feels like the other piece of the big work right now.
That's a beautiful message, and one that's so easy for us all to forget in the busyness of our lives and of our days. But you're right, it is our true essence, and for us to really kind of behold that and keep it precious.
And know that it's ours. It's not handed to, it's not because you're on vacation that you're calm. You're calm because you're giving yourself to be on vacation, to be so on vacation.
So, Ellen, tell me if there was a message right now for others to hear from your heart, what would it be?
Oh, that's a giant question. Goodness, I would say figure out what is your genius and go there. Everything else is secondary, and you whatever lights you up is where you belong, and knowing it is the hard part.
Beautiful message. Ellen LaPointe, thank you so much.